Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
There's been a little cold water poured on this weekend's game for this reason. The big news of the day, Jaden Daniels already ruled out. Terry McLaurin will not play either, has been ruled out. Wide receiver Noah Brown is not going to be on the field on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, nor will your top blocking tight end, John Bates. So just a casual, no starting quarterback, neither of two of your top three wide receivers helping you, or your best blocking tight end, but go get the Falcons. And it won't surprise a whole lot of people to know that Washington's gone from a 2.5-point favorite initially, and on the look-ahead line, I think it was even a little better than
three
that.
3.5, yeah.
To now 2.5-point dogs in some of the books that I'm seeing right now. So a 5-point swing, much larger than last week when Daniels didn't play, just based on all of the guys they're going to be without as they hit the road.
Yeah, just seeing now from John Keim, I guess via Adam Schefter, that A.J. Terrell for Atlanta won't play, which is nice, but, you know, again, it doesn't...
Who's running routes against their number two corner?
What I was about to bring up, right? It's, you know, can Chris Moore take advantage? They'll find out at 1 on Sunday.
By the way, he didn't play. A.J. Terrell did not play last weekend against Carolina either. Now, their problem was not necessarily their defense, although they didn't have a banner game. They didn't score a single point. Mm-hmm. And numbers approximate. I'm not sure that there's ever been any teams that have won a game when they didn't score a single point. But that's two straight where your best corner's out. So you would normally go into that game and go, oh, maybe there's an error in the
Somebody's
back end of the
feast.
Secondary.
Yeah.
But it's no McLaurin. It's no Noah Brown. I like Debo on some middle of the field, deep over, dig stuff. But it's got to be Chris Moore, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. The bottom of the wide receiver depth chart's got to step up here.
Yeah, they've already majored in Debo. This is now your double majoring in Debo, in my view. I mean, this is Debo early, Debo middle, Debo late. You just hope he's, you know, gets through it unscathed. But yeah, I'm featuring him a ton on some of that short stuff. See if he can run after the catch, break a tackle, do that kind of patented Debo thing that you saw so many times in San Francisco. Turn a 7-yard hitch into a 50-yard gain, something like that. I think is going to be essential to win this game on the road. And you said it. The consensus now has gone from Washington, if it has enough of its horses, is the better football team. They're now road underdogs in this game. The consensus has kind of swung towards Atlanta.
I want to bring Toby on for a moment before we dive deeper into the actual football operation, because Toby is the one of the three of us who just consumed his lunch out here.
Yep.
You and I will be doing that in the upcoming commercial
break. In a matter of moments.
But I saw Toby's food got here right as we were starting, and I noticed now that Toby's food is gone.
Yes.
And so it seems like it was a success. What did you consume?
Pan-seared rockfish.
And?
Spectacular. The sear was great, so you had a nice crunch with the skin.
Okay.
Light and flaky fish. So, so good.
This is an elegant situation today for us.
Very much so. I mean, Grant, of course, went with the childish burger, but
yes.
Everything else, Danny and I are going to indulge in more adult fare.
Elevated palate.
Very, very good.
Of course, yeah.
Very, very good.
They told me that they have an exquisite burger. I came to a sports bar that is elevated, to be clear. It's actually a power lunch bar, I would say.
Elevated.
This is where I would, like, bring clients to have meetings and
yeah, of course.
Whatnot. But yeah, I'm gonna dabble with the burger.
I would do that bit. You're exactly right. We're talking about clients. I would do the bit where I'd go, you know where we could meet? Great place. I know a little spot. It's called the Char Bar.
Yeah, you want to
easy to come by.
Talk about Clark's paperwork. Bring it over there in a folder.
Did you see the Tompkins file? Just stuff like that.
But you have to. There's like paper clips on your papers.
Oh, there'd be so many paper clips.
Manila folders.
I don't like staples. I like the feel of being able to take the paper clip off if I need to.
Someone's gonna have a meeting here today where they open up their suit jacket. And they pull the papers out of the inside pocket. You know, you're not just carrying them in, out of the pocket, perfectly folded. Mm-hmm. Tobes, you've got your American flag hat and your U.S. 2020 Ryder Cup gear on. Not off to a good start for the Americans, by the way.
No, I woke up this morning and they were already through their front nines, and it was a pretty embarrassing performance by the Americans early on. But hopefully the afternoon wave is going a little bit better. I see a little red on the scoreboard, so it looks like
enough,
it's going
Tobes.
A little bit better, but it couldn't go much worse this morning for the Americans.
Well, you can keep us abreast on all things Ryder Cup as we go today. But, yeah, we're going to major in the Commanders and in the NFL. Here's where I want to start on G&D. On this Football Friday, on a field trip Friday out here at Char Bar and Reston at the JW Marriott. We'll be seeing you as you come out today to hang out with us. Plenty of room, parking all around us, different garages in this little neighborhood here. Do you have any surprise that they ruled Daniels out today? Because I actually think that they could have listed him, limited again, and said he was a game-time decision, and nobody would have batted an eye. They would have even kept the suspense, the momentum, because he did such a good job when he spoke, making it seem like he's perfectly fine. Now, we've seen the video, and he's not quite 100%, I would speculate, but he wants to play. And there's no doubt in my mind, after seeing his press conference this week, Danny, seeing how adamant he is that the knee doesn't bother him, he's not compromised, he can be himself, he thinks he can go out and play winning football, I promise you he was advocating behind the scenes to play in this game, and they basically had to protect him from himself. Last week, a lot of people thought that happened. I don't know that it did. I think he was told earlier in the week on this plan, it was very likely that they weren't going to play him. This week, it does seem like he was elevating in his not only willingness, but climbing in what he was able to do in practice, and they eventually had to say it's not happening. But I'm a little bit surprised they didn't take this thing into the weekend just to keep the mystery going as to whether or not he was going to play.
Yeah, I am too. It you know, would have been an extra day or two, as you said, of that mystery, just making Atlanta just prepare just in case, right? It kind of tells you a couple things. Maybe to me, my inference, and whether this is fair or not, this is the first thing I thought of, maybe he wasn't that close to playing. You know what I mean? Like,
If you're ruled out on Friday instead of a game-time decision, Danny, it's obviously not a let's see how he feels over the weekend.
Right. Yeah. My thought was going into this, and tell me if you think this is crazy pants. If this was a playoff game, .. he was going to play this week. You know what I mean? Like, if this is a win or go home, you got no choice. You know, the only shot you get here, week 17 kind of thing, or a playoff game, divisional round, whatever, he would have played. But because it's not, and because they're smart and being judicious and careful and thoughtful, they were going to rule him out eventually. That was kind of how I was thinking this would go. By doing it Friday, it kind of told me maybe he wasn't that close to being able to get on the field and play based on whatever metrics they were using. I mean, I don't know if that's irresponsible. That's the first thing I thought of, though.
Well, it certainly wasn't as close as it sounded like in his press conference. There's no doubt. I think he has improved substantially because he was able to take part in three practices. If you're just comparing it to a week ago.
Yep.
We're on a trajectory now where it would be somewhat surprising if he didn't play against the Chargers. And in fact, I'd be willing to go as far as to say, if he doesn't play next weekend in L.A., now we know that this thing was more serious initially than was let on, number one. Because you're talking about almost a month recovery before he'd be back on the field after missing three games at that point. But you would also know at that juncture that it was never really day-to-day. It was actually week-to-week because day-to-day over 3 weeks missing games is not congruent. I mean, those two things can't both be true. But I guess for most people that doesn't matter too much, the semantics of how they're handling it or what they're saying. I just think they saw Marcus Mariota play this past weekend. And for the third time in three chances on the field for this organization, he was exceptional. He played a very, very clean game. He was decisive and accurate as a passer. He was explosive and dynamic as a rusher. Ran for 40 yards in the first half. throws for a couple hundred yards in the game. And coming out of that performance, their best offensive game of the season, through three games, you've got a top six offense in the NFL. Do you realize right now, this moment, they're the number one rushing offense in the NFL at 5.7 yards per carry and 157 yards per game? And I think when they look around and they go, wait, no McLaurin, no Noah Brown, no John Bates, we're going to have to get some rushing from our quarterback. This is going to have to be some read option, some pistol, some design QB run stuff. If you're not completely convinced in Jaden Daniels being able to do that at his normal level, you know Mariota runs it really well. I mean, in terms of just straight read option, he's as good as there is in the league, in my opinion. So if you're going to have to bake that in, because Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt's not 100%, and because your receiving room is pillaged by health at this point, then why wouldn't you want your more healthy quarterback available to give you some of that playbook? I think he opens things up for Kingsbury right now in a way that a compromised Daniels doesn't.
I think you're exactly right about that. And to me, just sort of looking at some of the numbers and things that I found, Atlanta plays more man than your average bear, which tells me that's a great opportunity for Daniels to have some impact on the ground.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
That'd be amazing if Daniels could impact on the ground without having actually played. I meant Mariota. That tells you that there'll be that time, whether it's via scramble or you catch him in a certain RPO look or a read option look that they're not anticipating, with everybody's got their head turned, and maybe you could have another one of those carries like you saw this past week against the Raiders where he ended up fumbling. But I think you could have a couple of those dagger-type runs on some third downs to keep the chains moving. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a slog than this past week was. And I know I said that about the Raiders, and they won going away, and the offense was really, really good. So, a little bit sort of calling for rain on a sunny day.
Well,
but
Obama
it does
style,
feel like that.
Let me be clear. I think you've predicted all slogs to this point. The first game, you had like a 17-16 rock fight. So that's kind of where you're viewing this offense. But this one makes a lot of sense.
This, I know. I've been wrong.
They're literally on their B offense.
Yeah, Giants game was a slog. Green Bay was. But this one, the Raiders game I was wrong about. They thumped a team that had come in good against the run. This Atlanta team, I think you can run on them. I mean, they're middle of the pack in terms of yards per carry and allowed and things like that. But, it feels to me like the best rushing offense in the league, whom you just referenced, three-headed monster, whoever ends up toting the rock. But I think there are going to be some good quarterback run opportunities in this game. And because of the point you made, I think you're 100% right on, you go, well, if that's where our game plan is taking us, we don't want Daniels doing that.
It's funny because I worry more about the defense in this game than I do the offense, despite all the injuries that we're talking about being on offense. And the reason I say that is Atlanta was so terrible when they had the football against the Panthers, scoring 0 points and getting blown out by 30. Michael Penix throwing two egregious interceptions, having just frankly an unacceptably bad performance. He ended up getting benched, which is evidence of that. But all week long, they've been hearing it from the outside. In the building, this is a lock arms kind of grin and bear it week where you got to buckle down and be on your P's and Q's. Your head coach, Raheem Morris, is being asked about how long the leash is for Penix and his backup, Kirk Cousins, and are they going to make any changes on offense. But when you get shut out It's just
against that team.
It's a motivator.
You know what I mean?
You
yeah.
You go back to the drawing board, and I think you try a lot of new things on offense. My guess is their plan, their scheme, their play calling, it's going to be different. They're going off script here.
They're moving Zach Robinson down to the field. You know, you always hear about that. The coordinator that was on the field is now in the booth. The guy that was in the booth is now on the field. But there had to be some introspection and some self-scouting after you got throttled and couldn't manage a loud clap. I mean, they could barely get out of the huddle against Carolina. You would think they'd be on their P's and Q's this week.
I think you could move Zach Robinson onto the field. It wouldn't help him very much.
Because I got a helicopter.
Tell you, yeah. Watch this offensive scheme and tell me he is doing a good job. There's no air yards. There's no play action pass or moving the pocket with the best running offense in football since the beginning of last year. You've got one of the elite running backs in this league in Bijan Robinson, an outside zone, pin and pull stuff, like all the stretch stuff they do outside the tackle box, you'll never see them go play action and boot the other way. It's inexplicable. Now, maybe they add some of those wrinkles this week.
They finally start to do it.
But they haven't done it. They didn't do it with Cousins, and everyone said it was because of his Achilles. All right, maybe. Now you've got Michael Penix. What's the excuse? It's just that this coordinator, for some reason, doesn't really believe in it. It's very stationary. You're at the same spot in the pocket. They don't move you anywhere. I've been completely confounded by how they run their offense. But you say, well, what? Then why are you worried? It's because of the weapons. It's because Drake London, against the banged-up secondary, should be able to make a lot of plays in that 7 to 15-yard range. Now, 70% of his targets are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, which is unacceptable. But that's where we are. He's going to end up being used like a tight end and be a high-volume guy. They've got to get more out of Mooney down the field. They got to get McLeod, some of those choice routes against guys that he can route up. But how do you cover Bijan out of the backfield? I don't think they have an answer for that. And there's enough Atlanta good in terms of personnel. If you're not completely healthy on the back end and Washington isn't, albeit that they didn't rule anybody out yet, but they got some question marks. Sounds like Trey Amos is a lot healthier than we thought he was going to be. That's my bigger concern than the Washington offense, because I think Mariota plays at a level that allows you to kind of just move forward and not have to worry.
Yeah.
And I would have told you Bates is a huge loss, but I saw him run for two bills without him last week. Sinnott blocked his butt off.
Let's jumbo again, by the way. Trent Scott. Yeah.
Trent Scott as a third tackle playing tight end was awesome. So we just saw it. I know that this is going to be a tougher game. I still think they can win it, but I worry more about the Washington defense, oddly.
I smell what you're cooking, despite the fact that group got shut out on the road to Carolina this past week. And I'm not telling you Kyle Pitts isn't a bitter disappointment. I am telling you that it's not because he's unathletic. You know what I mean? Just like the one time it works, like that guy with the football in his hands. You mentioned Robinson, who's got 14 catches for 164 yards.
By the way, the idea of Kyle Pitts
is intoxicating.
Is the greatest idea that's ever been concocted. This tight end who's twitchy and explosive and theoretically strong enough in the open field to run through tackles. Like, I will never understand how he's not a superstar. Ever. He had 1,000 yards in his rookie year.
Yep.
He's done nothing since.
It is unfathomable to me that somebody can't figure out what to do with that guy. And at a certain point, it's the guy.
He is playing better this year.
Yeah.
While we're beating up on him,
15 for a buck, 35 through three games. You know, five catches, 45 yards per game.
That's an 80-plus catch season. Like,
yeah.
He's making plays.
He's doing some stuff, but it's not what was promised. You know, I mean, the guy that went fourth overall as the ultimate Swiss Army knife weapon, it doesn't look like Brock Bowers. But, yeah, but to the point, for one game, he's very capable against a group that really struggled to cover tight ends just a couple of weeks ago. Tucker Kraft is still open against them. So I'm with you. I know it sounds like we're Chicken Little here, talking about a defense again, or talking about an offense again that struggled so mightily last week. They're making some changes. Receiver coach fired. They're moving where the coordinator is, et cetera. I'm just telling you, there's enough weapons where you go, you give this team enough cracks at it, it may not even be schemed up. Bijan Robinson just makes seven guys miss that time. Or Drake London mosses you and muscles up.
I got Bijan numbers I want to get to in this show that I've kind of dove into this week as a pass catcher and why he's such a problem out of the backfield. How is Washington going to defend him? We've got to figure that out, and we could talk about that. But to your point, I would ask people rhetorically as they drive around today, do you believe in the theory of the occasional dead cat bounce where you fire a head coach, and then the next week everybody kind of pays closer attention and you play a little better? I think we've all seen that a million times. If you believe in that, that's what I'm talking about with the Atlanta offense, where they got rid of a coach. They're moving the OC out of the booth to the sideline. the Wolves are at the door. Mm-hmm. These are the types of things you do for a coordinator before a guy gets fired in a couple of weeks. So it's now or never time for Atlanta, for Penix, and for this OC. And that's why they get scary with all the talent that they have.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.